I'd like now to welcome Patty Boucher. She is a current city councilor running for re-election in District 1. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mayor Charlotte. Good to see you.
So I heard, 4 years ago that you weren't going to run again, and now you are. Why?
Well, it wasn't definitive 4 years ago, but it was, I had a lot more going on, and I also had some personal considerations. My dad had been ill, and I was working full-time for the state and running a business and doing the city council. It was a lot of desk job at that point. So things have shifted. I'm freed up with more time and happy to be back at it. And my constituents really came to me and said, you know, your voice is needed now more than ever. So I thought about it and looked at things and made sure my life was rearranged enough to really be able to embrace this. This will be the first time I will have served, if I am fortunate to be reelected on March 6th, without having to be a full-time state employee along with running a business. I've scaled back my business enough, so it's all going to work out.
So you'll have more time. More time and energy. Now, when you look back over the time that you have served so far, what do you think are not so much your own, but the city's greatest successes and failures?
Let's start with successes first. I think our greatest success has been to really be a progressive community in terms of a variety of policies, from the living wage to affordable housing, to our open space and trails, which I've been pursuing on the Bicycle and Trails Advisory Committee and in parks, and really improving the quality of life from the citizens' perspective. I really think we have done a good job with that, and I think we've worked well together over the years to do that. And what we probably have failed at, I don't know if you can call it a failure, but just it's still a work in progress, would be really how we can shift things in such a way, and it may not be possible in Santa Fe at this point, but we are a graying population. We no longer really have the majority of our workforce that serves this community living here, and that's been very disheartening. We've tried as many efforts as we can. We've subsidized housing. The living wage was to supplement the revenue side of things. So it's been interesting because we are a very successful tourism community. We've grown leaps and bounds as an art community, an art market. We've done what we could to try and make sure we sustained what has been Santa Fe's way of life, tourism and government. Now government's been shrinking. And so the other aspect, of course, is to try and diversify the economy in such a way that we are successful in breeding an entrepreneurial population or segment of our population. Right now, what we tend to have are folks that come here on a visit. They love Santa Fe's beauty and cultural aspects and history, and so they buy a home, and so they'll generate businesses such as my own, a landscape design company, service jobs that, we're not going to have an industry like an Intel or something like that here,
right,
as well. So it's one of those where you really try to strike the balance, and I think we continue to try. So again, I'm not ready to call it a failure. I'm ready to say that, we have to continue to shift one job at a time. Really, from my perspective as a small business owner, by supporting small businesses, a lot of them will be spin-offs from the labs and other technologies that we've been successful in the past, but we're having a little difficult economy nationally, as you know, as well.
So, you have a situation where nurses and policemen and people who are working for reasonable but not high wages can't afford to live in Santa Fe, things like that.
It's more layered than that, and that is a disappointment, of course. I've been endorsed by the POA and the firefighters, and it's because I've been trying to really, I've recognized the problem out loud, tried to give voice to it, and we continue to look for solutions. So, for instance, I put a working group together, in particular around our police, our public safety officers, the police in particular, because we have a policy of allowing take-home vehicles. Well, that policy went 60 miles south. Initially the idea was community policing. You'll have cars in the driveway. It's a safety, mechanism. Well, that got turned into a bargaining right, and then they moved south because they can get more home in Rio Rancho. Well, anyhow, the working group did some good surveys of our firefighters and police, because firefighters, actually more of them live outside of Santa Fe than even the police. And what they discovered is, and I was just talking to some of our firefighters here, they were here for lunch, and I asked them, I said, how do we get you back here? I mean, we keep asking that question. And they said so anyhow, the answer to the surveys that we put out were that it wasn't just the cost of living here or the cost of housing. It was a combination, but also our schools. Their spouses also are working, you know, looking for work, and they're finding it easier down in Albuquerque, and they like the schools once they're in there, and they get settled, and they don't want to come back.
Yeah.
So it's, because I said, you know, we can shift the incentive. Instead of a car, we can look at financial incentives. We can look at down payment assistance. We've done all those programs, you know. And
are the schools there better?
According to the folks, that's, you know, what they say in the survey. They're happier there.
Interesting.
And so, not to disparage our school system. I mean, we certainly try what we can.
But go ahead.
Well, we do what we can do. I mean, the city subsidizes where we can. I mean, we give 2% of our general fund to support our youth and family programs. We provide all kinds of different things. But it's certainly not under my purview as a city councilor to try to dictate how our educational programs go. It's a long and layered problem. If you look at our schools, a lot of it has to do with the funding formula. That's an equitable formula, but it really works well for rural communities, small schools, not so much Santa Fe's complex situation. And so,
well, every time I see these children coming to my door with chocolate bars, and I buy their little chocolate bars, and this is supposed to pay for the things that should be paid for, ladies and gentlemen.
It's true. It is true, and it's a disappointment, and it's a great thing that we have a philanthropic community and a very active parent-teachers association that come in and fill in the gaps. I mean, we have FACT, Fine Arts for Children. We have all kinds of programs that supplement. Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I probably were very used to a very different...
We got our crayons paid for.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a very different setup, and it's hard. It is probably the biggest stumbling block in terms of workforce development and many other things. You know, I mean, if you don't get at the root of the problem, it becomes a situation later you got to deal with down the road.
You also have to deal with things like crime and gangs. How bad is our gang problem, and what, if anything, can be done about it in Santa Fe?
You know, the gang problem ebbs and flows, I would say, to some degree. And when we're talking gangs, we're not just talking the local, you know, taggers, you know, and fights and what have you, because I think that's been better. I think sometimes that what we get are gangs that come up from Central America through, you know, the drug trade. We know we have horrendous problems in northern New Mexico with everything from heroin to, you know, your standard fare. So it is part of the problem, and is certainly behind, I think, some of our property crime issues. But really, some of what, you know, again, I've looked at it very closely, is the property crimes often have been the same kids, local kids to some degree, coming back and, you know, not really, the system's kind of sending them back out on a regular basis. They're not really, the recidivism rate is high. So
even from, like, juvenile detention, that
kind
of thing?
Yeah, I mean, either they don't get through, you know, the courts doesn't, you know, we're failing somewhere in here. And a lot of it, from my perspective, should start with treatment programs to a lot of things that, you know, aren't funded. I mean, I've been dealing with a lot of public safety issues in and around the rail yard or New Park. You know, we've got a particular population that is homeless and can't avail themselves of our new homeless shelter or the homeless shelter that's nearby because they have serious addictions and they are screened out of those programs. And so, you know, we put something together. We said, you know, we need a local option, liquor excise tax, for instance, to start trying to fund some of these other programs, treatment. And, you know, to get past the liquor industry lobby is almost an impossibility. So there are many things. I mean, unfortunately, what happens at the council level is you're only able to put in new tools that help the police. You aren't necessarily able to, you know, get those treatment programs right into place that I would like to see.
Patty Boucher is running for re-election City Council District 1. Thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
I'm happy now to welcome to the program Houston Johansson. He is running for City Council in District 1. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me on, Mary.
So you are the youngest candidate running, and you have a lot of ideas about how to help the younger people in Santa Fe, people who are facing, as we all know, pretty severe economic conditions. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, first I want to say I don't know that these economic problems are unique to young people. Certainly young people are getting hit hard, but across the board, going door to door, you know, if you're in your 40s, 50s, if you're a family, everybody's having a hard time right now across the board. So I think that my ideas about diversifying the economy really will help not just the young people, but everyone in our town. And I do think that it is vitally important that we do diversify our economy. You know, I don't ever want to impact tourism in a negative way. It's a vital part of our economy. I'm glad it's here. But it can't be the only thing we have. Going through this downturn, we've seen that it's not enough. It's not enough to give people the long-term opportunity to be able to live here and build, you know, really quality lives. Too many people are moving away. Too many young people can't move back if they want to. So we need to move forward. And I think that this town, being as smart and creative as it is, really can do that and really lead on issues like sustainable energy. You know, I'm really happy with what the city's done with solar thus far, but it's not enough. You know, we need to, you know, work with our state reps to get some of the regulations that are holding us back out of the way. We need to work with our county partners to get some better financing options set up so that homeowners can borrow money to get the solar installations they need. We need to continue to work with HomeWise to accelerate their programs and their lending programs, which are fantastic, but they need to be expanded. We need to consider some large-scale deployments you know, around town so that we can continue to reduce our use of coal.
What do you mean by large-scale deployments?
Well, I would love for us to, you know, consider putting up, you know, a large solar array, say, up at the reservoir. And the reason this was an idea suggested to me because, A, there's no one up there to complain, right? And that's sometimes a concern because your neighbors may not love the sight of solar panels or a wind turbine. And B, if you put them over the reservoir, you would reduce evaporation, which would help us solve our water issue. I mean, it wouldn't fix it, but it would help us, you know, take a step in that direction. You know, that's something that will cost a bit of money, so it probably won't happen today, but I would love for us to really consider things like that.
It's interesting that you're talking about that because I've been thinking a lot about municipal scale solar projects, municipal scale renewable energy projects, because everybody seems to always talk about either putting a panel on your house or having a gigantic utility, but nothing in between, and it seems like those in-between things are very practical.
Yeah, I mean, the homeowner is a great start, but if we're really going to do this in the long run, really have a lot of jobs created around it and have a real sustainable industry around it, we're going to need sort of that medium-scale stuff that Santa Fe could really do. So things like the reservoir, you know, I'd even like to look at the old landfill potentially as a site we could put these things. And again, these will cost some capital outlays, so we're going to have to, you know, discuss with the community at what point we're willing to make those investments. But I think we need to do so.
And what is our return on that in the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, certainly that's the other part of the component. You know, we'll have to, in that discussion, we'll have to talk about, okay, yes, it costs us this much today, but as a community, we'll save this much in the long run. And we need to talk about it even broader than that. I mean, the health effects of coal energy are terrible. I mean, you want to talk about something that's driving up healthcare costs, which affects all of us, that's a key driver of things like asthma, cancer, all kinds of things. If we reduce our coal use, we'll reduce our healthcare costs, and that's sort of an indirect benefit of doing these types of things.
So renewable energy is one way of diversifying the economy and something that is perhaps medium to long term. What else?
Well, the other major thing that we need to be doing is we really need to overhaul our communications infrastructure. You know, if we're going to attract, you know, Santa Fe's never going to have, say, a big auto factory outside of it, nor would I want that. But we can have things like small engineering firms, small software firms, the film industry, which is, you know, slowly growing here, you know, marketing firms. We can have these things here, but they're only going to work if they can plug in to the rest of the globe in a really effective way. You know, my stepfather, he's a software engineer. He constantly complains that he's slowed down in his day because he can't move data out of here quick enough. That hurts his bottom line. We as a community really need to step up to the plate, I think, over the next 5 to 10 years and really invest in a very high speed, a very reliable, very cost-effective broadband system so that these smaller firms and these medium firms can either be created here or move here and really have a competitive edge. I know a lot of people who would really, you know, they would suck up some of the other costs of doing business here if they knew they had this kind of, you know, reliable internet and very high-speed internet.
And so that's a kind of clean industry with also something that I think is very important to talk about, which is better paying jobs and also longer term jobs.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, not only is, you know, building it, of course, is, and this is true with solar energy too, the initial building of these things will create jobs immediately that will be good paying, but then it sets up the framework for these longer term, better paying jobs where, again, young people could come back and have an actual opportunity to build a life. Working families could choose to not have to work 3 jobs in the service sector. They could get a job at an engineering firm. They could get a job at a social media firm. And again, because because they would have this backbone of high-speed communication, they could plug into the global marketplace really efficiently. And it also has other benefits. If we wanted to do a true smart grid here, you would need that kind of data throughput to make that happen.
What's a smart grid?
A smart grid is where you use digital technology to monitor the grid in real time and then move energy around it in very effective ways or efficient ways. And it also allows you to do all kinds of interesting like pricing and stuff, so you can see exactly when you have an uptick in use, exactly when you have a downtick in use, where you have those things. And you can move energy much more quickly and efficiently that way. It also lets you discover problems quicker. You'll discover that, electrical box, whatever, has gone down very quickly if you're plugged into this digital grid that's giving you constant data back.
We're talking to Houston Johansson, candidate for city councilor. What have you seen and heard from the people? I mean, you've been going door to door all over the district.
Yeah, I'll tell you, going door to door has really reaffirmed my belief that we do need this diversified economy. I started out with that belief. And then I've gone door to door, and I hear, people don't necessarily put it that way. They don't say, yeah, we need to diversify the economy. They talk about that they're struggling on their mortgage payments. They talk that their kids can't come back here. They talk that they're worried they're going to have to move away. They're worried that their business is going to close. And when you start to hear these things and you put the piece together, you're like, oh, I see what the problem is. We do not have a strong enough economy that can weather certain economic storms and provide a broader base of opportunity. So I think my message is right on in that sense. I mean, people have been very receptive to it. And then when I talk about how I want to preserve our historical districts, preserve our tourism industry, not threaten those, but augment them, people are very receptive to that.
The role of public education is kind of more a state thing, but everybody complains about how poor the educational system is, with the exception of some stellar public schools. What do you see the city's role, if any, in public education?
Well, it's true. It's a tough issue because obviously city council can't directly vote on what the public schools do. But there is a very important role for city council. Part of it is maintaining a positive, strong relationship with the school board so that we can be aware of their needs and help and assist in any way we can. Part of it's making sure we have good relationships with our state representatives so that we can go to the roundhouse with them and fight for a strong public education system. But beyond that, I think the city really can take a proactive role in providing education beyond the classroom. I'm a strong believer that you learn a lot outside of a classroom. I've certainly benefited from that over the years. The coffee shop I had on 2nd Street did a lot of that, teaching kids about business from an inside or an out-of-classroom perspective. So the city should really be focused on that. And I would love to see, this would be very cool to me, if we actually could create sort of an overarching mentorship program here in Stanford, where we take professionals, in the art world, in the marketing world, in the tourist industry, in the restaurant industry, in the software industry. We take those successful adults who already know what to do and partner them with high school kids and even some of our college kids so that they can get some of those other skills and they can build a real relationship with the community. I think often, especially at our colleges, kids leave because they have no affinity for the rest of the town. Boy, what a great opportunity to show them how great Santa Fe is and what a great future they could have here if they were partnered with these adults doing these really cool things.
And then adults would also have the opportunity to have future employees, perhaps.
Absolutely. It would give them a chance to see prospective employees and prospective interns. And, I've talked to a lot of people around town in different fields, and I get the sense that there's a lot of excitement about the prospect of, if I'm an older businessman, helping to mentor some young person through their process. So I think the community would be very receptive to this, and I think it could give us a lot of additional educational support outside the classroom.
You are running against Councillor Patty Boucher, who has who's a fixture really here. Why are you running against? How do you see the differences between the two of you? What do you bring that she might not?
Well, I see two big differences, and of course I do respect her for 18 years of service. That's a tough job, but the first difference is, being my age and coming from where I am. In my 20s, I'm completely unencumbered. I have no pre-existing allegiances. I owe no one anything. I'm completely beholden to you, the taxpayer, if I win. And as such, I'm able to entertain and listen to and work with a whole set of new ideas that may not have been on the table before. And in these dynamic times, that's very important. I'm also very interested in listening because, again, being my age, I'm very aware I don't know everything, which is A-OK with me. I'm happy to go out and ask people for their input. The other big difference is I think I offer a vision for Santa Fe. I hear the counselor talk a lot about her past accomplishments, and there are many, of course. I hear her talk a lot about the committee she's been on, and that's great. But we need a vision for moving this town forward. If we're going to have a vibrant, thriving community in 10, 15, 20 years, we have to have a vision. And I offer that, one of a diversified, sustainable economy where young people and working families can build a life and where everyone can live a quality life here in Santa Fe.
Houston Johansson is candidate for City Council in District 1. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Bob Saar. He is running for City Council in District 2. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
So, District 2, three people running for the seat vacated by Rosemary Romero. Why did you decide to run?
I've been involved in the railroad, in the rail yard, for most of its existence. And so I've had lots of dealings with the city. And I came to a conclusion over the last, particularly the last year, that the way decisions are made in City Hall could be improved. I spent most of my life working with management teams and helping them make better decisions. And I watched some of the decisions be made and thought, I can bring something to this event. I can help them with their processes for including people and for basically making better choices.
It's interesting because the way you make choices in the commercial sphere and the way you make choices in the public sphere are necessarily different, I think, in many ways, because one is about serving the greater public good and the other is really about the company and, you know, making a profit, keeping solvent, all that kind of stuff. How do you think of those two ways of decision-making?
Well, the decisions that you're talking about being different are commercial decisions. When the work that I did was in almost exclusively in the manufacturing sector, and decisions aren't different than they are in the city.
Really?
Decisions are made by bringing together the right people, the right information, and having the right kinds of conversations, having good listening skills, having ways of bringing out people who are reticent and, you know, managing people who are overly talkative, and having a group with a mutual objective, having them get all the facts on the table and consider things wisely in order to make a choice. And that's what governments do. That's what the Public Works Department has to do. They have to get all the information, and they have to share it with the right people, go through a decision-making process that's not any different than a manufacturing factory.
One of the things that is so obvious to me, particularly sitting in my seat and having so many different people go by and listening to what the real, both scientific and political issues are in our country, is that we have this huge problem, namely climate change, and we have many solutions, and no one's really dealing with them on a political level. Here in a small town or a small city, Santa Fe, when you think about environmental concerns and when you think about getting the facts on the table and making good decisions, how do you think about that?
One of the reasons that when I came to Santa Fe, I said I accidentally got involved in the railroad. One of the reasons was that I knew back in 1991 that rail corridors were going to be important in the future because we were going to move by rail. We were going to be less and less dependent on the automobile. So corridors were important. And I joined the group of people who were preserving that corridor so that we would have a corridor. I also knew that that corridor was the only way we would get transit into downtown, except buses. I mean, we couldn't bring rail into downtown except with that corridor. I got involved, and for 15 years, we preserved the corridor that the rail runner now uses to get to the center of Santa Fe. That was about being more effective in moving people around. Halfway through my tenure, we were approached about a rail trail. And railroads, big railroads, don't like people near their tracks. Makes sense. We were a small railroad. We were a railroad that was a community asset. We said, yes, we will permit a rail trail alongside of our railroad. And the decision was based on that's how people are going to move around. They're going to ride their bikes alongside the railroad track, and they're going to recreate that way. So some of it's transit, some of it's recreation. I've always been a public transit advocate And I've ridden buses. I rode buses to work in Cincinnati, and I worked in Europe for about 5 years on about a monthly basis, and never ever rented a car. I always took the train. So one of my big things is transit and trails. And so that's how I think about that issue. And I, on the level of the council, one of the things that I think the council does not do enough of is to sit back as a group and say, we as a group need to look at the city and say, what are the things that are going to make it more livable, are going to make it truly more green, and do that collectively. The eight of them plus the mayor need work at talking to each other, listening to each other, and dreaming together so that they say, yes, we want to put more housing in the center of town. You look at this St. Michael's corridor, there's a large area of the city that's right now underdeveloped. It's underoccupied, it doesn't have enough services, and truthfully, a lot of it's ugly. The whole council should be saying, how do we move it ahead? And the 1999 plan actually has a plan for moving it ahead, and nothing's really happening. So, you know, it is a group process that will be creative about how do we make this city truly more livable, more green.
When you look at other cities, or have you looked at other cities to see who you think is doing a good job that we could get ideas from?
I haven't done it with that purpose. I have, I got the opportunity on a couple of occasions to go to Portland. And Portland is doing a better job than most in these arenas. And in particular, one of the big things is their grasp of transit and how transit makes for a different kind of living and one that's more green.
What other issues do you think are really important for the city of Santa Fe to deal with to make the city a better place?
One of the things that I've had reinforced during the process of going door to door and talking to people about the candidacy is that the public in general does not feel like they are being well served by the departments in the city. And to some extent it may be because they can't be well served or some, you know, immutable force that's keeping the department from doing its job better. But my belief is that we could do a better job delivering services. We could do a more effective job, i.e., we could get better services, we could get better employee satisfaction, all without adding employees. And so I think it's a big deal. What the city exists for is to deliver services. We have a large workforce. We have many departments, all of whom are supposed to do that. And the level of general malaise and complaint about that seems to me high. We should do better.
Yeah, and I wonder sometimes, I mean, when you have bureaucracies and the cultures that are spawned by bureaucracies, and I'm not making a comment one way or the other about any particular department in the city, but you're talking about changing the way people live their daily lives and how the culture in their department might be, which might not be very efficient.
The work I did with Procter & Gamble for the last 10 years of my career and the work I did for Colgate Europe in the next 3 or 4 years was all about old cultures in manufacturing facilities. And the first work we did in both cases was to work with the very top management team and say, how do you shift a culture? What kind of interventions and what kind of culture do you want when you're done with your interventions?
And how'd you do it?
Oh, a variety of ways. And one of the ways is you educate. You start with the top management team and you say, okay, you go look at this place where the culture's different. And you don't go and... If you come back and say, oh, it won't work here, then you've lost your job.
Right.
you go there and you understand. And if you have to stay for a week or if you have to stay for a month, you understand how those people work and you understand why they like working better than they used to. And then you come back and say, how do we make this happen here at, you know, plant X or city Y or whatever?
Bob Saar is running for city council in District 2. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Elizabeth Dolly Lujan. She is running for city council in District 2. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So why did you decide to run?
Oh, the question. I really didn't want to run for, I had no intention of running for office, and a lot of my union friends came over to my house and were there till about 1 o'clock in the morning convincing me to run for office, because at that point there was nobody running. And so
there was nobody at all. Now there's three.
Now there's three of us. Yeah. And so I debated for over a month and finally decided, well, you know, Dolly, you complain about things that you don't approve of or you disagree with in city council or within the government, period, not just city council. Our city council people, I think, have done a very good job, but in government, per se. So I decided just, you know, put your mouth into politics and have a voice and you know, make decisions that you feel are positive and good for the public.
What were some of the specific issues that you were really thinking about and that your friends who were staying in your house till 1 in the morning were concerned with?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this about me or not. I was a district president of a nurses union at St. Vincent Hospital. And a lot of my concerns stem around union. You know, fairness in jobs and getting more jobs going for our union people here in Santa Fe. You know, our industry for our building industry has suffered a lot, and we have a lot of people out of work. A lot of our union people, you know, out of work. Our masonry people, our carpenters, our electricians. You know, a lot of these people are union people, and they're not. There's no work for them. So they're either having to leave the state to find work, or they're struggling to survive. So those are big issues. And another big thing was, the fact of outsourcing. You know, outsourcing work from New Mexicans, from Santa Feans, in particular, because this is, of course, my district and my constituency lives here in Santa Fe. And the fact when you have a job and then all of a sudden you're having to reapply for a job because your job has been outsourced is a big issue with me. It happened at the hospital where a lot of the work there was being outsourced and continues to be outsourced. A lot of people are losing their jobs, and their jobs are going to Tennessee or Texas or...
What kind of jobs? I mean, not nursing jobs.
Not nursing jobs per se, but, you know, jobs with transcriptionists. Our housekeeping has outsourced. Our kitchen has been outsourced, you know, had been outsourced and stuff. So they bring in their own people a lot of the times. They bring in their own management a lot of the times. And our people here in Santa Fe are out of work. And it's happened at the convention center where they've laid off some workers there because they've outsourced their work.
So when you talk about putting people back to work and unions in particular, you're talking basically about job creation.
I am.
So how do you see, what's your vision of job creation?
Well, you know, we're getting a start, hopefully, if this bond issue goes through. That'll start creating jobs for our masons and our electricians and our plumbers. The other thing is that I've talked about since I ran for office in 2008, and I continue to support this thought, is that, you know, we have a lot of homes around Santa Fe that are in businesses that are abandoned or are for sale, and you know, the structures are in pretty bad shape. For affordable homes, to buy these up, fix them up, and then sell them as affordable homes, along with the businesses. You know, you build them, you fix them up, and you rent them out, and hopefully not at a high price, so that the renter can support whatever business he intends to open up.
Do you see something like this as being, in a good sense of the word, but profitable for the city, or a subsidy that we pay in order to serve other people in the city?
I think it's both. You're hopefully subsidizing by, you know, you're buying up the homes, you're fixing them up, you're selling them for affordable homes. That home will always belong to the city, right?
Ah.
So you're paying that mortgage on that home, but, you know, for however long. But if it, you know, it'll eventually go back to the city.
Very interesting. So what are some of the other issues that are of concern to you as a prospective city councilor?
Other issues. Well, you know, there's the issue of not having enough police on our police force. We're down, I believe, a few positions. I'm not quite sure of the amount because they said they had hired some more. But, you know, if we're down a few positions. They've hired a few more, and they're still down. So one of the big issues is, of course, safety and of our neighborhoods, of our people. Another issue is, the bond issue is something that I support. I feel that it's something that's going to, of course, bring more work into the city, which is my number one priority. But it's also going to allow us to fix up our sidewalks and to fix up our existing parks and create new parks for the south side, to make our trails, our walking trails and our bike our trails safer. Like, for instance, in the district that I represent, of course, is a part of that district is Canyon Road. And I don't know if you've ever walked Canyon Road or not.
Yeah.
But you know, there's no existing sidewalks, and there's really no place to put them. You know, it's really difficult. So
it's tricky. When you drive, you feel like you're going to mow a tourist down if
absolutely,
you're not careful.
Absolutely. And you know, I grew up off of Canyon Road. So this is always, and it was a two-way street at that point.
Oh, my goodness.
It was two ways all the way up, you know, and going back into the plaza. So it was really tricky, and it was not paved, and there were a lot of potholes and stuff like that. And the trick, of course, was there were no sidewalks. So I think the creativity of, you know, somehow creating safer walking paths for our tourists and for our people that live there, generating money so that we can provide facilities like bathrooms and places, you know, if somebody gets injured, they can go and get water or stuff like that from some area there. I had thought that maybe, you know, we rent properties from Mr. Salazar. Maybe, you know, along with those rentals, the city can put in, you know, restrooms and stuff for our tourists and for mm-hmm. and people that you know come to Santa Fe and go and walk Canyon Road and, you know, and for and then the other thing is better cleanup for our streets, you know, particularly the streets that are well, any street, I shouldn't say particularly, because any street in Santa Fe is something that, you know, if we have potholes, they need to be repaired. If we have sidewalks that are in disrepair, they need to be repaired, because people are more active nowadays. They're out walking more, you know, they're not staying in their homes as much as they used to. People are riding their bikes to work. There are people are walking to work, and some, like I do, you know, so
yeah.
It's important.
How do you feel that your work as a nurse and as a union leader would contribute to your being a good city councilor?
Well, nurses are good listeners, and we're doers. You see something going on, you know, with a patient, you're on it. Otherwise, that patient's going to die. So I am a doer. I am a listener, and I get the job done. If, you know, I find a solution, and I stick to that problem until I find that solution.
Sometimes city council elections have poor voter turnout. Why should people come out and vote?
I think that's the truth, and it's very sad that our city suffers from that. People need to come out and vote because they need to have a voice. And in order to have a voice, you have to vote. Vote for the person that you feel is the right person for this job. And that's how you accomplish things. You know, you say, well, I support you, I support Mr. Ives, I support Mr. Sarr, I support you, Dolly, whichever one of us you support. Well, show your support by not just saying that you support us, but get out and vote.
Elizabeth Dolly Lujan is running for City Council in District 2. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like now to welcome to the show Peter Ives. He is running for City Council in District 2. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte, for having me on, and I've been looking forward to sitting down with you and talking about the campaign and what's happening in Santa Fe, so glad to be here.
Excellent. So why did you decide to run for City Council?
It's interesting. It's something that had not been at the top of my mind until a particular seed was planted. And that seed was planted back in November by some neighbors of mine who I've known for years and whose opinion and participation in our city's life I respect and honor. And they approached wondering if I would be interested in running for the city council seat that was being vacated by Rosemary Romero. And I describe it as, and if you read the journal, unwitting preparation meeting opportunity. And by that, I mean based upon...
What's the unwitting preparation part?
I'm an attorney by background and trade, moved to Santa Fe in 1983, and I've been living in District 2, of course, for the last 25 years or so. And ever since coming to Santa Fe and as an attorney, felt an obligation to give back to the community. It's a responsibility that I strongly believe in, and I think that certainly is a strong one for attorneys who have skill sets that are so critical to many aspects of our community, often who don't have the necessary resources or capacity to engage attorneys in a more paid capacity.
So, right.
Came to Santa Fe and joined shortly after arriving the board of directors of the Santa Fe Desert Corral. Have always been a singer and had the blessing of being able to sing since high school, through college, through law school, which had its own Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and on into Santa Fe. So didn't sing with Desert Corral because that was a full-time professional commitment, but lent my abilities as an attorney on the board of directors and also served as the third president of the Desert Corral, which, of course, still is here in Santa Fe today and doing fabulous music.
Fabulous music, indeed. Now, what are the issues in the city of Santa Fe that you would really like to work on?
Certainly there are a number of them. I think as a city councilor, you are charged with understanding the budgetary process and participating that in real ways. And I've been trying to read through our 300-some-odd pages of the city budget from this existing fiscal year. And
oh, my goodness, you are an attorney.
I am an attorney. I actually have it with me.
He has it in his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, I see it. Or what he says is it.
I can show you it in exhausting detail. But I know that that's one of the issues that we'll be faced with on the council as the new council is seated. So that's an upcoming one that I thought it was important to try and get out ahead on. And that's in large part because many people, as I've been campaigning and been at the various public forums, have expressed interest and concern over the budget. And so part of my style and, if you will, that unwitting preparation from having served on many different nonprofit boards and organizations is a commitment to being informed as to the decisions that you are called to make. And that involves making sure you're prepared. And so with all those organizations, of course, in a nonprofit world, your board of directors is charged ultimately with the management and oversight of the entire organization, and budgeting is a critical part of that. So, and that's certainly true at the city level as well, especially in tougher economic times.
What about other things, maybe some specifics about things that you think the city should spend money on or spend less money on?
interesting to note that this year's city budget was actually, I think, about $100,000 less than the prior years. So the city has taken, in my mind, a fairly conservative and responsible approach to its budgeting processes, which I think is good and has served us well generally across the city. Of course, you know, depending on circumstance, you do need to spend money where appropriate. I know another issue that has been significantly talked about in the campaign is job creation, and especially jobs that are there for, if you will, our youth, either coming out of high school or coming out of college and into their first sort of professional level experience. And I know that was an issue that Ramon Lovato at The Reporter covered in the most recent issue. And that's one where I think this, I need to understand it better, and I'm still in the process of if you will, gaining that capacity. But I do think there are affirmative steps that the city can take, especially coordinating job information from the employer side, trying to find out and work with our employers and businesses in a more open and communicative way to find out what their needs are for employment, and then trying to ensure that the youth and our kids who are coming into that workforce have the training that's necessary to really move into those jobs.
So those are existing jobs. I mean, those are jobs of employers that we already have here in Santa Fe, is what I hear you saying. And the whole question of how our school systems are doing in teaching kids to be ready for the workforce, much less learning to read and some of the basics that we always seem to be talking about. What about job creation, bringing new types of employment into the city?
Certainly. It was interesting, and, you know, one of the things that I know a number of the candidates have talked about is MIX, which is essentially a social networking and business networking opportunity that was created in the private sector but with participation by, I know, a number of people who are involved in City of Santa Fe government to act as a sort of entrepreneurial think tank, I believe, for trying to identify those sectors of the Santa Fe economy where new jobs can be created. That organization attracts a wonderful cross-section of that young professional business community.
Which is very small in this town, especially if you exclude Los Alamos.
It is small, although that, you know, at the last MIX function, there were probably at least 200 to 300 people there, and a lot of them involved significantly in youth programs and youth training. People from Youth Works were there, and they're, of course, pursuing many nice opportunities. But I think sitting down with those folks, talking about where they see that possibility of job growth, and certainly everybody's talking about green technologies. Clearly, too, City of Santa Fe has attracted BTI, the bicycle sort of wholesale parts manufacturer, a fabulous company to have here in town. And I'm sure it's the existence in part of our expanding bike trail systems that make it, for the people from BTI, the place that they wanted to locate and to live. We have the advantages of that, what I would describe, natural beauty and historic beauty, which is Santa Fe, which makes it a nice place to live in the first instance. So finding jobs that promote those qualities in our city makes a lot of sense. The green technologies, of course, are, be it photovoltaic, wind, solar, et cetera, are certainly one of the areas I'd love to look at expanding.
It's almost time to go, but anything else you want to say before we go?
Just that I've really enjoyed the experience of campaigning. It's been great getting out into the neighborhoods, meeting folks. I am publicly funded, so I've had the enviable position of not having to ask for money and, in fact, refusing many folks who wanted to contribute. But that allows you to talk about the issues and engage in that dialogue, and that's been a wonderful experience for me. And I hope everybody gets out on March 6th and votes, and certainly would welcome their vote for my candidacy. And I'll end it there.
All right. Peter Ives is running for City Council in District 2. Thank you very much for being with us. And everybody, ladies and gentlemen, go out and vote on Tuesday, March 6th.